Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Open your heart to Him right now. Lord, we let You pour Your Spirit out on us right now in this place, in this very moment, God. Father, You're speaking to hearts in this room right now, Jesus. Lord, there's burdens. There's fears. There's anxiety. And Father, people in this room are bringing them to the foot of the cross right now. They're tired of carrying them. And God, they're bringing them to You. And God, let Your strength, let Your love, let Your joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, let it be poured into those hearts, into those lives right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to just step out, lift your arms to heaven, showing your sign of release and surrender to Him. And just let the presence of God fall on you right now. Let Him pour Himself out onto you right now where you stand. And Scripture says you're an overcomer, but it's by the word of your testimony, that which you proclaim. He's asking you to step out this morning and proclaim that you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. surrender to you. I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Surrender to you.
You know, in these moments, if we're not careful, we can miss. We can miss what God has for us. But it's in these times of worship that God many times wants to pour himself out and be able to touch us where our need is at. And I thank God for his faithfulness, because he says he will meet you where you're at. Amen. He will meet you where you're at.
Amen. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, worship team. Wasn't that awesome? Would you just stand with me for a minute? I just have a word real quick to share with you, and we'll go into our meet and greet time. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. It's good to see you all. Well, as I was praying about what to share today, the Lord reminded me, or he gave me a dream last night, and it's just a real quick picture, but I thought it was for us today, so I just want to quickly share that with you. In my dream, there was a strand, and it was like a vine, and on the vine were all these fruits and vegetables and seeds and, like grains, just all clustered together, randomly colorful, just this beautiful, rich strand of good food. And as I woke up this morning and started pondering that, I just asked the Lord, what does that mean? You know, what does this mean? What, tell me what this means. And I just really felt the Lord just speaking to my heart that is like what he wants to build us into. It's just this beautiful, the Bible talks about a tapestry woven together, and just to glorify himself. And what's interesting about the fruit and the vegetables is that they're all different, all together. You know, maybe not like we would put a pattern together, not really rhyme or reason, but it was just beautiful and it was nourishing. And what I thought was, you know, this is cool because this is like the body of Christ. So many different gifts, so many different people. We don't look the same. We don't come from the same walks of life, but somehow God makes that beautiful. And how we can be nourishing to the community around us, to the people that we can reach, but only if we're knitted together. Because we only have one thing. We only have one thing to offer, but we need each other. Amen? And so I thought that was just a cool way of God just describing how he wants us to be. And also felt like I should just encourage us not to look at each other and compare and say, well, you know, I'm a kiwi next to a peach, you know, and a kiwi doesn't really look good next to a peach. But what's on the inside of the kiwi is, you know, a peach has nothing on the kiwi. So it really, you know, look at what God's doing as it's his work and as we're just all part of that. And I have this piece of jewelry that someone gave me a couple, maybe 4 years ago or 5 years ago, and it just reminded me of this, and I made it a little longer this week, and I don't know if that's profound or whatever, but isn't it interesting how it's just got all these different things, and Josh calls me a seagull. I like sparkly things. Maybe some of you relate to me. But if you want to look at this a little bit later, it's just something that I thought really spoke to me of God's workmanship. This was made by an artist, and it's not a pattern. We shouldn't expect our God to work in a pattern all the time, because he really is creative and he really wants to use his creativity through us. Isn't that great? So I'm just going to pray into that if you just bow your heads with me. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the master and the finisher of our faith, God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord God, that you have built us, knit us together as a temple of the Lord, Lord, that you could be glorified through us, Lord. And God, I thank you that you're the vine and we're the branches. You're our life source, Father God. And I pray right now for everyone in this body that we would really plug into you, God, that we would be that seed that plugs right into you, and that you would cause us to grow and bear fruit of our kind, God, that you've called us to bear in our lifetime, Lord God. God, I pray that you would help us to be content with what you've called us to do, each one of us, as our special, unique place. Help us to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, God, but just to be sober-minded about the place that you have us. Father, I pray that you would help us to be surrendered to you, as this last song just said, that we would really, truly just say, not my will, but yours be done, Father God. God, I pray that we would remain in you so that we could bear much fruit. Thank you that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to bear much fruit and do good works, Father God. God, thank you that we are a planting of the Lord. Thank you, God, that it's you that planted us and that it's you that keeps us. Lord, we trust in you. Unless a seed falls to the ground, it does not bear fruit. And God, we just pray that you'd help us to be ready to just die to ourselves, God, and our selfish desires, God, and what we want with our life, God. Help us to pick up our cross and to follow you, Lord Jesus, knowing that that is going to be our greatest fulfillment, Father. Thank you, Christ. Thank you for being that awesome example of just that sacrifice for us. Let us walk worthy of the cause, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And all God's children said, amen. One last thing. I heard this really funny quote, and I thought I'd share it with you. It says, every great oak tree started out as a nut that God cracked. I just love that. But that's true, you know? We're just that. We're just being worked on by the Lord, right?
Well, good morning, church. How are we doing today? All right. Good worship time, huh? Thanks, Scott and worship team. I was one of those nuts that needed to be cracked. Right? Some are harder than others. Yeah, you're right, babe. But you've been working on me, beating me up, getting me ready to be planted. Hey, there's a couple really important things that are happening this week. And one is, this is the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. I don't know if you knew that. But on the 22nd, 40 years ago in 1973, there was a landmark decision by the United States Supreme Court to legalize abortion. And there's been huge and giant ramifications because of that. Since then, there has been more than 50 million abortions performed in America. This is a very significant and very serious topic, and I know it's very heated and controversial, but murder of 50 million people before God and the Bible that I read and the God that I know, that's not controversial. That's pretty straightforward. This is an evil that has been accepted in our nation that we need to, as a church and as the people of God, not only be educated, but be praying against and fighting against with every moral fiber of our being, right? In a godly way, right? Fortunately, we have the opportunity to vote, and we have good laws and the ability to make good laws. I want to give you a few statistics about this. Not only has there been 50 million people that have been aborted. The baby boomer generation was 70 million people. The Gen X generation is 35 million. Do you guys see the significance? Less than half. From the World War II generation to the boomers, it went from 66 to 70 million. And then from the boomers to our generation, my generation, it went to 35 million. The generation was literally murdered. Half of the generation was murdered. And I just want to encourage us that we see the significance and seriousness of this. Some statistics here. How old are women that are having abortions? People that are less than 15 years old, less than 5%. Ages 15 to 19, 16%. Ages 20 to 24, 32%. Ages 25 to 29, 23%. If you look, more than half of the abortions that are happening are from people under 24 years old. Ages 30 to 34, 14%, and 35 to 39, 8%, and from 40 plus is 3%. What percentage of abortions are performed because of hard cases, which would be rape or incest? Less than 3% for rape, and less than 0.03% for incest. These are important facts I think we need to know, because they are the basis of all of the argument as we go about talking about abortion, is that a lot of times we bring up these really hard cases to make the point to legalize the murder of 50 million people, right? You still with me? I just want to pray into that real quick and ask God to give us wisdom on how we can change the laws of our country, how we can make a difference, and how we can educate people, men and women, to make godly decisions, to take responsibility for their actions, and to not see babies as the worst thing that's ever happened in their life. That's one of the most deceptive and evil lies, is that if you have a child, it's going to ruin your life. That is the opposite of what's going to happen. If you have a child and you take responsibility for it, it's going to bless your life. The Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord no matter what. Not under certain circumstances, but no matter what, right? And, my wife and I, we had our first baby when we were 18 years old. She was 19, I was 18. I was just a little peanut, see? I was just a little baby myself. And we've had 6 children since then. Well, not since then, but total, right? That would make 7, but 6. And one of the most significant things in my entire life is not only being married to Joni, but has been us raising these children together and what it did and how it shaped our lives. We had cardboard for furniture, yeah, but that's not the end of the world. That helped change something in me and develop something in me, taking responsibility and raising a family together. So I want to encourage you, one, not to beat anybody up who has had an abortion. I know that those are very, very difficult things, and sometimes you could feel, how did I get duped into this, or guilt and shame. And we're not here to judge or point fingers. We're here to support you. We're here together to support what we believe God has for us and wants for us, which is to move together and protect life and to preserve life. I want to just give one praise report before I do like pray here, is that when we passed that law just a little bit ago that you had to get parental consent for teenagers, for minors, I believe the percentage is somewhere in the 20%. There's been a reduction in teen abortions by 20%. It's like over 20%. That's a huge deal. That's in our city. And so a lot of people are like, well, that's a compromise. Look, that's 24% of the people that we just saved their life. We got to keep taking steps. Yeah, it's not good enough yet. We got to keep taking steps. That's what I want to pray into right now. Father, thank you that God, you are the God of every circumstance. Nothing is impossible with you. Nothing is too hard for you. There is no obstacle we cannot overcome in you. And this giant, horrible atrocity that's happening in our nation for the last 40 years, we are coming against in faith and in action in Jesus' name. And we pray that you would overturn this ruling. And not only that, God, you would put in place laws that would never allow this to ever take place again in our nation. And we're praying for just people in this whole nation, God, to get a vision for their children, to get a vision to raise godly children, and get a vision to love their kids and not murder them. I pray for the truth to come out, that they will really see this as murder, God, and that our nation will see these unborn children, God, as real living human beings, God, that have a soul and a destiny in you. And I pray that you'll just wake up America from young to old to the truth that God, you have designed and formed each one of us in our mother's womb, God, and you had an intention for us before the beginning of the earth. You had a destiny for us, and I pray that we will just protect the sanctity of life. And we're speaking that over our city and our nation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On a little bit of a lighter note, we have the newest member of our congregation who just came into this world. Her name is Lily Grace Day. All right, there she is. She's looking a little wide. She's born 12:15 a.m. Okay, what was the date she was born here? Okay, well, she was 17 and a half pounds. Are you kidding me? Well, you can see it right on her face there. The days were just here. She was in that little car seat. How'd they fit her in there? She's humongous. No, 7 pounds, 10 ounces. She's happy, healthy, and beautiful. And these are young, awesome parents that, there you are, you're there in the back. There you are, you can see, hold your baby up, or just hold your baby, you don't have to hold it up. There she is, Lily Grace Day. You can tell she's not 17 pounds in real life. She's beautiful. Thanks for loving your baby, thanks for having her, thanks for bringing her into this world and all the care you're going to do for her. Can we pray for her right now, is that okay? All right. Father, we thank you for Lily Day. And for Aubrey and Justin, and we speak blessing and favor and life to them as parents. And God, we just pray that this young girl will just become a warrior for you. And we just speak, we just call out the destiny in this young girl, God, that she will be full of your grace. And she will walk in the power of your grace every day of her life in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's not your official baby dedication. That's just a half one, okay? Another important date to remember is tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right? It's where we honor the life of a true American hero, the Reverend Martin Luther King. And he was, I believe, truly a hero in the faith. Some people don't know this, but I like to talk about it because I get to brag on somebody that is important in our family. Joni's great uncle is Reverend Bob Gretz, who served with Martin Luther King, and we had a chance to meet him, and he tells about the story of what it was like and when Rosa Parks came to them and started talking about how she was going to cause this big upheaval and not ride the bus, or, you know, not sit in the back of the bus or ever give up her seat. And when they started having these meetings and when they were picking Reverend, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. to be their spokesperson and really rally all around, he said he could tangibly feel the presence of God. I began to cry when he was telling me this story, and I could feel the presence of God. He said, we knew God was going to change our country, and no less than that happened. I mean, to this day, we're still riding the wave of the breakthrough in the civil rights movement and the equality of people. And Martin Luther King Jr. said it best. He said, and his dream and his vision was to see that people would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I believe we are well on our way, and it's our job and duty to carry on his legacy, which is, I believe, inspired by God, to continue to look on the inside of who we are. And we are really the melting pot of the world. It is beautiful to see. I love going to, my kids go to Diamond High School. I love going there and seeing, it's not 50% white anymore. I'm telling you, it is a giant, beautiful mixture of, I go around, I don't even know what nationality half these kids are. I'm serious. It's not just black, white, or Hispanic anymore. It is a beautiful mixture of God's creation all right here. Thank God for airplanes, right? Right? I mean, they just mix the whole world up. It's great. And everybody in our nation came from somewhere. Somewhere else besides here for the most part, unless you're Native American like me, right? I got a little bit of that in me. But we're all from somewhere else for the most part. And it's a beautiful thing to see what God has done with just mashing all of our lives together. And, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. and the people that served with him, they truly pioneered and put their lives at risk. Ultimately, he was, you know, murdered for his belief and the stance that he took. It was worth it, right? It was worth it. And it's worth it for us to keep pressing forward. Amen? All right. Well, I'm going to start preaching now. Is that okay? Have I been preaching? Okay, well. So don't forget to honor him and honor that movement. We can pray into that movement and ask God. Let's just do it now. I'm thinking about it. We'll pray, right? We're going to pray that God will continue to bring equality in our nation and help us to see one another for who God made us. So God, thank you that you will just do this work inside of each one of our hearts and our kids' hearts. And we come against racism and class ism and social classism, all of the separations and segments that we would want to do, generational barriers and between men and women, gender barriers. God, we just come against every type of prejudice that would still be lingering around and that the enemy would be trying to cultivate. We come against those things in Jesus' name and pray for, God, just a revival to set loose in our nation, that we will be found faithful, loving you and loving others just as you see us, God. Help us to see one another. We just pray for an abounding increase of your love throughout our nation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be teaching kind of a mini series here, just really about spiritual growth. And if you look at the book of Peter, the 2 Peter specifically, it was written in about 67 or 68 AD. And we see Peter truly right at the end of his life. And he's writing down basically his last desire, his last exhortation or encouragement to the church and those that he influenced. And so keeping that in mind, we're looking at, like, as someone comes to the end of their life, they look differently at what they're doing and how they're behaving and what they say. And usually they're very careful about what they say in their season of lasts. And the things that we see Peter say to those that he's ministering to are very significant. And he focuses on spiritual growth is a very, you know, prevalent theme and topic in this book. And he also talks about protecting yourself from divisive doctrines and false teachers. So, you know, and protecting yourself from those, you're looking at spiritual growth, protecting yourself from false teachers, and this hope in the resurrection, this hope in the Lord, and being able to look forward to what God is going to do. And so, you know, we know that when we hope in Christ, it gives us the ability to overcome and to persevere. So I think these three core themes are important to keep in our mind as we pick away and move through 2 Peter, is that it's really centered on spiritual growth, keeping our doctrine straight, protecting ourselves and others from false teaching, and knowing what the Scripture says and knowing God himself, and keeping our eyes focused on who God really is and what he's done for us and where he's taking us. Amen? Amen? Okay. So let's just jump in. We're going to go 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to go verses 1 through 3. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus, our Lord. Verse 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Isn't that beautiful? He has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, bless this message. Move on us today. And God, we just ask that you will open our eyes to the truth. And God, you will reveal to us how we can know you and how we can spiritually grow in you. And so, God, I'm praying for a release of wisdom, a release of understanding, and God, a deepening of our relationships with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title of my message today is, to know is to grow. To know is to grow. So if we just look back in verse 3, and it says here, and I think this is the version, I'm not sure if I have the exact version that we have going on here. Is it a little bit different? Yeah, well, they're both New Living Translations. That's frustrating to me, but whatever. Yeah. So I just started to figure that out here, that we're looking at a little different translations. But same Bible, right? Here we go. 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3. As we know Jesus better. Is that better? No, what is that? All right. What is that? Did I just grab, like, totally random scriptures and just they're not even the right ones from the Bible? It's awesome. They are the Bible, though, right? So we're going to have to double check that Bible translation on there. Is that 1 Peter? Oh, thanks, Rick. You know everything. All right, so you can just leave it on that title slide for now. Yeah. So So here it is. As we know Jesus better, as we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. Isn't that beautiful? As we know him better, and as we look even in the passage before, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of Jesus our Lord. There's a direct link here to growing and knowing. You see it? There's a direct connection between us knowing Jesus and us growing spiritually. Grace is the power to do the miraculous will of the Father. It's the desire and the ability that God comes in and gives us that power from within through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, right? To do the will of the Father. And peace is the balance of trust in the sovereign power of our living God, despite the circumstances. So we feel this tension between our circumstances and who we know God to be. Right? And the more we know who God is and what he has done and what he's overcome, the more peace we have. And the more we know who God is and know about him and what his desire is in our world and what he wants to do through us, the more we experience the faith to believe God for the grace of God to be moving through our life. So that's the connection here, is the more I know him, the more I begin to grow in my faith, and my faith begins to give me the opportunity to walk in grace and also experience the peace of God looking at the circumstances. Peace is needed not when things are peaceful, but when they're not. Peace that, like the Bible says, it passes understanding, surpasses the circumstances, is rooted in the whole truth of that the circumstances are terrible and hard. But even in the midst of that, I have peace in who I am and my position with Christ and what I know he is and who I know him to be and what I know he is going to do. And that peace begins to anchor our souls to something you cannot see. You can't touch it physically, but you and I have this anchoring in who we are that cannot be shaken. It can't be changed. It can't be moved. The more we understand and know who he is. But you and I have to do our time. We have to invest our time into knowing the God who saved us, who made us, and who's drawing us to himself. We have to invest the time into growing and knowing him. This is why Peter says to his disciples, this is the last thing that I'm probably going to say to you, and I want you to know that you have to know him. And I'm praying that you know him and you grow in your knowledge of him more and more, so that his peace and his grace will just abound in you. Think about your father or someone important to you. Like these flowers here are from the beautiful late Carol Lewis, who's in heaven with Jesus right now, having a giant party and probably listening to the great list of amazing things that she did for him, right? And it's just like, really? Oh, stop it. No, okay, stop it. I mean, you know, just Jesus just pouring it on her right now. Right? We look at this, the potential of this abundant living that we can have in Christ through knowing him, through just knowing him. All right. The word really here is abundance, is that as we pray that God will do this in our life more and more, the desire is this abundance. And like what Carol would have said, this is what I was trying to say a second ago, like what would Carol have said to you, those of your family, in her last moments? Would you have listened? Would that be important to you? Those that are in their senior seasons and their sunset years, and they're important to us, and they're coming to that end, and they go, this might be the last thing I get to say. What should I say? I know at the funeral, one of the young kids said, Carol said to her, I love you. That was one of the most important things she could communicate, is I love you. Think about that. Those kind of things should sink into our souls. They should sink deep into us. And when we read this, and Peter is saying, kind of in his last will and testament or his last words that he wants to invest, he says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you know Jesus more. This knowing is really specifically an understanding, a revelation of an increase of revelation, understanding about who he is. But as we move on, it says, as we know Jesus better, there's also this intimacy that is involved in knowing who he is. It's not just a head knowledge about who he is, but there's also a knowing of the relationship with him as he draws us to him. And as we pursue him and open our hearts up to know him deeper, there begins this grace and this peace that will abound. The words here, even in the Amplified Bible, as it goes on, it says, through the full personal knowledge of him. So as we grow in the full and personal knowledge of him, as we grow in that, we begin to experience more of God's grace and more of God's peace. In John 10, and I think we have this one right, John 10, verse 14, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You know, God just, he set up this relationship, and he started it all with Adam and Eve way back in the garden, and you don't find God up there like cracking the whip on Adam and Eve. When we look back in Genesis, we don't see him like giving them this giant list of stuff to do outside of naming the animals or whatever, and like just bowing down and worshiping him, or like this big laundry list of things that he like wants them to do and all these sacrifices or whatever. No, in perfection in the relationship, which God intended in the beginning, was just walking together. It says he walked and he talked with Adam, and he knew them. They knew one another, and he fellowshiped with them. This is what Jesus died for. He came so you and I could walk like Adam and Eve walked, with God the Father, in the cool of the day, at any time we want. We could fellowship with him in the fullness of his presence. It's beautiful. And as we grow in that, and grow in the knowledge of who he is, and the drawing of him and the full personality of who he is, then we begin to expand. We begin to expand. I want you to think about your relationships with people. As you grow in relationship with a person, I think about my relationship with my wife. I know what she's going to do before she does it, most all of the time. Because I've spent 18 years of my life with her. And it's like almost all of my adult life I've been with her. So I know through, when we go through difficult things, I know what she's going to do. When she's mad at me, I know what she's going to do. When I do something sneaky or whatever, like I'm on the golf course when I haven't talked to her, I know what she's going to say. Oh, you be bad too sometimes. Come on. Don't judge me. Sneak away, I'm watching a football game, right? Supposed to be doing the dishes. I know what she's going to say, okay? But also I know how she's going to love me. I know when I make a mistake, or when we're going to go through a difficult time or something difficult like the roof collapses at our church, I know how she's going to respond. When the roof collapsed, first thing we found out, is everybody okay? When it was, I mean, her faith just began to rise up. She's like, God is going to do something great. Well, I know she's a great woman of faith. But it's because we spent humongous amounts of time together, talking, walking together, knowing one another genuinely, being together. You cannot replace the time spent together. You can't exchange that. You can't replace that. We have to be found with God. God desires us to be found with him day in, day out, all the time. Fellowshipping with him, expanding our understanding of who he is and our knowledge of who he is. Learning more about his character and his nature so that when we get into circumstances, we know what's going to happen. We know how God is going to react. We know what he is going to do because we know who he is. You with me? Just like our natural relationships. I just want to say this, is that, you know, the more you grow together in relationship with a person, the more you understand what they can, what you can do together, the more peace you have when you're going through hard times and difficult circumstances, right? In your marriage, with your kids, your church, your coworkers, your family members. There's a direct connection between how deep we go in our relationships with one another and how deep we go in our relationships with our God. The deeper you're willing to go in your relationships with the Lord will open you up to more vulnerable and deeper relationships with people. And the deeper you go in relationships with people, with your spouse, with your kids, coworkers, church members, trusted people, the deeper your relationship with the Lord will go. These things work together. And one of the things that I believe God wants us to do is live a life that is open and known and where we're knowing one another. That thing right there, that creates this steel in our relationships or deeply roots our relationships together. It's like a seed planted in the soil, right? Like if you take a seed, and it was cool that you're using this today, and you leave it outside of the ground, nothing really happens. But if you move that seed into the soil, you move it into proximity with the earth, something that's cultivated and ready to receive it, then all of a sudden you add a little water and it starts to sprout. But it's got to be in proximity. It's got to be close or it won't do anything. Right? And so that seed has a lot of potential. That seed can become whatever it is. If it's a peach, it becomes a peach tree, right? If it's an acorn, it becomes an oak tree. This thing, but it has to be sown. And so with relationships with God and with us, we first have to have our seeds. The relationship has to be planted. We have to plant those relationships. We have to make a decision. Jesus, I'm going to be in relationship with you. I want to know you. And then we have to make a decision. I want to be planted. I want to be sown into this relationship. We have to keep ourselves planted, right? And not for salvation purposes. I'm just saying, I want my relationship anchored with Jesus. We spend time with him. And then we need our relationships to be refreshed through times of worship, times in the Spirit, times of prayer, right? That's the watering. It's the watering of our relationships. And let your roots grow deep, learning more and more about who God is and how he feels about you and what he's done for you, right? Also, let your roots grow deep in your church. See, if we keep skipping around and moving around all the time, we never get a chance to deepen those relationships with one another. The second something hard comes in, if we bail, then all of a sudden we leave all that time that we invested together. And it's gone. You can't just restart 20 years of relationship. I just want to just think again about Carol Lewis's funeral. And Carol died in her 70s, isn't that right? She was in her 70s. And she was at this church longer than I've been alive. And for real, right? 30 plus years, right? She was here at our church and maybe it was about the same time. And being here and watching people talk about her life and watching the depth of years and years and years of relationships with Pastor Rick and Dolores and with Joan Rogers and Joan Halgan, who's gone on to be with the Lord, and you know, all of these relationships and the people that showed back up here yesterday to church, it was packed and it was beautiful. And we're talking decades of relationship with Pastor Dick, of course, obviously. The relationships, the years after years after years, you cannot replace. And the stories they talked about and that type of funeral happens when you've been rooted somewhere deep for a long, long time. And you've allowed those relationships and the faithfulness of your life to just continue to bear fruit in one place. I know God calls people and transplants them, but I believe that there's an epidemic happening in the church abroad, is that We want to just be little potted plants. And we want to just be moved around everywhere. And we don't ever want to let our roots go in deep because it hurts. Because it's not perfect. Life isn't perfect together. But I believe God is saying it's time to break the pots. It's time to break the transplanting pots. Stop thinking about how long you might be at some place and, well, if this isn't perfect or that isn't perfect, then I'm going to bail. I'm going somewhere else. And start thinking about, God, how deep can I let my roots grow so I cannot be moved? And God, if you're going to move me, it's going to be by some kind of hurricane. You know? Because God has called us to do something effective together and to see the life of Carol Lewis and the effectiveness that she had in her life because she was rooted and faithful. It was beautiful. Mega fruit. And I think that a lot of times we compromise our fruit because we uproot. Didn't say that as a rhyme on purpose, but just think about it. We compromise the fruit. Well, I'll just go buy some fruit from the grocery store. Because we uproot our trees all the time. And we go, well, the pastor's bearing fruit or that person at that church is bearing fruit. But what about you? What about us as individuals? God's called us to bear good fruit, each one of us. So I put together this. I want to just give you these two scriptures here. This is the tree that in Scripture, there's two places specifically that I'm going to draw out that the Bible talks about. I really believe the Christian life, the life of a believer in this picture, this word picture of a tree. And it's in Psalms 1 and Jeremiah 17. But Psalms 1:1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join with scoffers. But they delight in doing everything the Lord wants. Day and night, they think about His law. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season without fail. Their leaves never wither, and in all they do, they prosper. How was that one? Yay! Okay, good. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Hear that rooting, hear that intimacy, that relationship. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit. That is the type of life that God wants from us. That God has made us for. This beautiful tree that in every season is bearing fruit. I just can't stop talking about Carol because in the last season of her life, when she had every excuse, she had leukemia for almost 9 years. She had every excuse to not produce fruit. And she's up at Pastor Dick's house helping him with his troubles. Serving him and cleaning his house and loving him when he's going through his hard time. She's sleeping on people's floors. I'm hearing stories about her, like sleeping on people's floors to help nurse them. Listen, we can come up with any excuse in any season of our life to say why we shouldn't be investing and building the kingdom and living a fruitful life. But the Bible promises us that if we keep our lives rooted in God, intimate with Him, knowing Him and growing in our knowledge of Him, we will grow in grace, grow in peace, and we will always be fruitful. It says in Psalms there, whatever we put our hands to will prosper, no matter what season. That's a good promise, right? So I put together these few points here just to help you get it in your mind. Stay planted, right? Stay planted. Get your seeds planted. Watered. Time with Jesus, time together, times of refreshing. Let your spirit be refreshed and be watered. Time at church is a time of watering for me. I get filled when I'm in worship and preaching the word and hearing the word. We need to be rooted deep in our relationship with God, right? Deep in our relationship with the Lord, deep in our relationships with one another. Trees like this do not grow overnight like that. That takes decades of being in a place being rooted And the last one here is be fruited. Right? So let's start again. Planted. Can we go back? Planted. Watered. Rooted. Fruited. The spell check didn't even say that was a wrong word, so I'm pretty sure that's still. You can be fruited. Come on. You should be like this lady with fruit just coming off you all the time. Right? You're just moving around. Fruit's just jingling off everywhere you go. Because you're rooted in Christ. You're rooted in this relationship with Him and with others. You can just tell people, I'm getting fruited, man. Just getting fruited. I'm going to close with this passage here in John 15, verse 5. Jesus said this. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Will you stand? To know is to grow. God desires for us, like Peter gives in his last exhortation, that we grow in Him. And he prays for his church. He prays for the people he's ministering to, that they will grow in their knowledge and understanding of Him. So they'll continue to grow. The more you grow, the more fruit you produce. The deeper your roots go, the more fruit you produce, right? Get fruited because you're rooted, right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you bring life to us every day. God, I thank you that our lives can be fruitful, that our lives can be glorious. Our lives, God, as overcomers in you, God, we can see tremendous fruit every day in every season. And whatever we put our hands to can and will prosper in you by faith, in relationship and in understanding and the increase of knowledge of who you are. God, I'm praying for an expanding of your knowledge, of our knowledge of who you are. An expanding of our understanding of who you are. God, I'm speaking blessing and life and favor to your church, to your people. God, I pray that you will root them down deep in this church, God, in this family, and we'll become an immovable force of love in this city. God, because nothing, no circumstance can shake us because we're your people, knit together by your love. So, Father, I pray that as overcomers, God, in this season of our life, Lord, we will bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I love you. Thanks for being here today. It was a blessing to see your faces. Thanks for listening to me. And if you want to give your heart to Jesus and get planted in the kingdom, I want to invite you to come down after the service here, and I'd love to pray with you. Some of our care leaders would love to pray with you. If you have any needs in this church, I want to encourage you to find somebody to pray with you here. God bless you. We'll see you next week.